fan feels good up here. Of course, my pupils will probably fly through the air in a minute here. For those that like titles, the title of my split sermon here today is Greater Works Than These. Greater Works Than These. Jesus Christ told his followers that it was his Father who dwelt in him that did the works. He wanted them to understand the concept of the Father living in and working through him, because the same spiritual empowerment was to be made available to them as well. He also told them that they would do greater works than the works he did. Let's look at John 14, 10, 12, and 20. John 14, beginning in verse 10, and then we'll jump to 12 and 20. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do. Now in verse 12. As the Father dwelt in him, Christ said he will also dwell in his disciples. You will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. It is important that we understand this concept of God dwelling in those in whom he is working, because in these latter times, he is working with us. It says in John 17, 20, you don't have to turn there. He says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Then in John 17, 23, it says, I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved me as you have loved them as you have loved me. God is perfecting our relationship, which is oneness with him. The fact that he has the same love for us that he had for Christ shows us how serious he really is. Our focus should be on working with him to perfect the oneness so that he can work through us. Christ expected his disciples to do greater works than these, and they did go on to teach many more people than he was able to teach during his 3.5-year ministry. If Christ expected greater works from his disciples back then, what does he expect from his disciples in this day and age? If we have the same relationship with God that both Christ and his disciples had, and if God loves us as he did them, then surely he has the same expectation of us as well. If this is the case, then what is preventing us from doing these greater works? So what is hindering those works? In Christ's time, some followers found the concept of God living in them hard to accept and simply didn't believe what Christ told them. Because of their unbelief, God couldn't use them, and they turned back and followed Christ no more. Let's look at some of the reasons that they turned away from Christ and refused to follow him any longer. Let's look at John 6, verse 53 through 59. John 6, 53 through 59. Then we're going to jump to 60 and to 66. Beginning in verse 53. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your father ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever." These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Now, of course, we all know that he was talking about the Passover, where we take the bread and wine, symbolizing his flesh and his blood. But that was a concept a little too hard for them to stand. So now let's look at verse 60. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. Verse 65. And he said, "Therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it was granted to him by my Father." From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" So you can see why a lot of them turned away. Do we really honestly believe Christ when he says that he lives in us? Do we have the faith to believe that God will work through us? If not, then we should earnestly pray, believing what Christ has said, expecting him to work through us, and it will be done. Let's look at John 14, verses 13 through 14. John 14, verses 13 and 14. Beginning in verse 13. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Let not our unbelief be a hindrance to God's work. Our focus should be on our relationship with God and knowing what He wants of us. Paul addressed a problem in the Corinthian church where the members had their minds on other matters. Their focus was on church politics and leadership issues, and it hindered their spiritual growth. They were not dealing with problems the way they should have, and some were even taking legal action against fellow brethren. You can read that in 1 Corinthians 1, 11 through 12, and 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 4, just as an example. Paul summed up their condition when he said, "Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." Paul was not referring to knowledge about God. He was talking about knowing the mind, the will, and the purpose of the God who dwelled in them. If our focus is not on what God is doing in us, we limit what He can do through us. If God dwells in us, then His love abides in us. Christ prayed to the Father that the love, agape love, with which you love me may be with them, and I in them. John 17, 26. God commanded us to extend that love to others. Love toward God and love toward neighbor are the fundamental principles on which God's law is based. The Apostle John made it very clear as to how we apply that love. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. That's in 1 John 4:12. Looking down, if you want to turn there, 1 John 4 and verse 16 now. 1 John 4:16 says, "God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." Drop down to verse 20. "If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar." And now in verse 4:21 it says, "And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also." We must love our brethren to fulfill the law. Romans 13:10. "Anyone who has God's Spirit is a brother, regardless of corporate affiliation." If we don't love the brethren, we break the law. Remember Dave Markham just mentioned John 3:4, that transgression of the law is sin. If we sin, the love of God is in us waxes cold. Christ specifically warned that his love would affect many of his followers. Because of lawlessness, the love of many shall wax cold. Matthew 24:12. Christ was talking about God's love, remember, agape love, which is only available to those in whom God dwells. He was addressing the church, not the world, when he gave this warning. Our attitude toward the brethren can prevent God from working through us. The book of Acts records some of the great works God accomplished through his disciples in the early church of the first century. If there are greater works than these to be accomplished in these latter days through each of us, then we certainly don't want to be guilty of hindering those works. We who live in the end time cannot afford to be distracted from perfecting our oneness with God, nor can we let his love in us wax cold. More than ever before, we need to be seeking to know the mind and the will of God and extending his love to our brethren so that we do not limit what God can accomplish through us.